Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just another manic Monday, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Man United broke another record and Arsenal look broken. It's Monday, 30th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidisha Hantaraja.
Welcome, one and all, to the Football Ramble. It's good to see you boys in your twinkly eyes looking at me. Gentlemen, on Friday, we thought that Cristiano Ronaldo might go to Manchester City, but he was still a Juventus player. He's now a Manchester United player. How about that, Vichy?
When I heard it come through on Friday, I thought, it's typical Ramble, isn't it? Like a perfect, just after you've recorded,
yeah.
And there's no comeback the next day. Well, we can cover this on Saturday. No, because there is no Saturday. No.
Yes, indeed. Roy Keane said that after Manchester United beat Wolves 1-0 away, of course, at Molineux, he said, I hope Ronaldo didn't see that, otherwise he might try and pull out of the deal.
Mm.
Yeah, it's typical Roy Keane.
I would assume he was watching it, and he... I mean, unless he's got his own special channel, he will have been watching that punditry.
I mean, yeah, he's in Portugal, apparently.
Oh, right, okay.
Awaiting the qualifiers.
Okay.
I don't know whether he was watching it or not.
Do you think they didn't tell him we're playing? What, are you... No, it's, no break this weekend.
No,
don't watch that. No, uh-huh. No, God, no.
Well, Martin Tyler said something, didn't he, Vish, on the commentary about Ronaldo not playing against... essentially George Mendes's Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Yeah, it was like something out of... It was like he just realised who Kaiser Soze was.
Yeah.
And he's like, hold on.
What?
Yeah, very. That was very amusing because I think he laughed it off and then it was a silence as if he was just, oh no.
Yeah.
Football is not what I thought it was.
What? That's right, yeah. Well, of course, after a three-pronged attack from Rio Ferdinand, Patrice Evra, and even Sir Alex Ferguson, Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, has rejoined.
I mean, you're answering two out of three of those calls, aren't you?
What's wrong with Fergie? He returns for 13 million. Very quiet. It's a throwback sort of transfer.
It is, isn't it? But I guess
it's
because of his age, obviously. And we all know that he would desperately have wanted to win the Champions League at Juventus because he's all about the legacy, isn't he? But if he goes to Man United...
He'd maybe set off for Europa.
Already done it.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
That's very, very true. Few quid for a guy who might sit on the bench, but I suppose he'll decide, won't he?
Yeah, very much.
I mean, it is worth reminding ourselves that he scored 29 goals in Serie A last season, which was more than Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah.
So he's still got it.
Oh, absolutely. How do you feel about it, Vish, as in what he's going to mean to the team? Because essentially, I mean, Rashford, Greenwood, Sancho, Dan James, Martial, whoever else you put in there, is doing his running, right?
Yeah.
But all of those players can do that. But I mean, I know Martial's been criticised for not running enough, but you know, he's certainly a pacey player when he applies himself. So, yeah, I mean, it does mean you have to play in a certain way, doesn't it? You've got this fixed point, like striker who is unbelievable at it, but it.
I don't necessarily think so, because I think he would. He was, you know, the Ronaldo now is basically, you know, a penalty box phenomenon.
Penaldo,
really,
yeah. Penaldo's and Penaldo.
Penaldo's
United.
And Penaldo together. Yeah,
yeah, who's going to take the penalties?
Pen friends.
Yeah, they're going to get loads. They're going to get about four a game.
So it should be pen pals, shouldn't it? That'd be better. Yeah. But the yes. Yeah, so in terms of that, you know, obviously he'll play through the middle, and you know, United do need that player. I'll be interested to see how it affects Mason Greenwood.
Do they need
playing
that player?
Time.
I think it's been
a bit of a problem, and it was only when I know we'll talk about the Wolves game in a bit, but they have needed a bit of a focal point at times.
Yeah. Look at the way Greenwood start the season. I know he's still a bit green, if you like.
Sure, but if you look
and
at the way
Cavani off the bench,
well, that's what I mean. So if you look at the way Cavani had a really profound influence on United last season, I think the way I described it was like it was like having a TV in your front room, so you know where all your furniture needs to face. But yeah, so in that regard, it will be useful. Also, he's going to bang in loads of goals as well.
That's not in question. But it seems quite odd. Our friend Jonathan Wilson wrote an interesting piece in The Guardian, basically saying he will score goals. That's clear. And for Juventus over three seasons, I think he scored 81 goals.
Yeah.
And obviously they won the league a couple of times with him in the side, blah, blah, blah. But Wilson's argument was he scored loads of goals and all that. He made them worse.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's such a weird one in football when you think, well, of course he'll score goals. I mean, do we not want more goals?
Yeah.
Even though the side actually don't lack goals. But there is a strong argument to say that they will be a less cohesive unit, even though at the moment they're not particularly cohesive.
Yeah.
At all.
I mean, they didn't win the league last year, did they?
Which is crazy, really, yeah. Given that they were going for 10 in a row. And obviously you've got to credit Inter with that, and it's not as straightforward as that. But also, in a league as competitive as the Premier League, given that there are so many teams vying for the title who have a legitimate chance at it, it is those fine margins, isn't it? So if you accommodate Ronaldo and make something else a little bit worse, it might come back to bite you. But then at the same time, I mean, on paper, it's really exciting. It makes you think, oh, could Man United actually... Yeah. Could they challenge? And it's a interesting one for Solskjaer, isn't it? Because now's the time. Now is the time to deliver.
Well, but it is an interesting one for Solskjaer, Jim, because of course it's for Manchester United exciting, you know, going back there. He's an absolute legend of that club, and rightly so. He's one of the greatest players of all time. Da-di-da-di-da. All this stuff we know, by the way. This is not dismissing his ability or the excitement of the fans. That's all such a given that perhaps there's not much needed to be said there. But in terms of Solskjaer and his approach, well, actually, you know, if he does think actually Ronaldo is maybe not as mobile as he was, that's clear. Do you stick him on the bench, or do you, he's an impact? Or do you sort of take him out the side for a bit and so on?
Oh no, he's playing.
Well, he already said yes. Solskjaer already said after the Wolves game, which obviously, as I said, we'll go into. We didn't sign Ronaldo. Ronaldo hasn't come here to sit on the bench.
Of course not. But you also don't want to say piss off Greenwood, who's. I mean, what does he think right now? Solskjaer said the players are excited to have him. I think this is more of a balancing act, perhaps, than maybe one or two people realise for Solskjaer.
I think it's also, United need a defensive midfielder badly, and this takes them a step away from getting that.
Do you think you'll try and get that in the next day or so?
I don't really know how. He's on 420 grand a week or something. And even just like, I know it's a small transfer fee, but it is something that's been taken out of the pot. Yeah. So I don't know, really. He said, I mean... Pre-Ronaldo, he said, kind of whatever from here on in is a bonus. Ronaldo's obviously a little bit different because he becomes available and then there's that attraction to him, whatever. As Paul Hayward said, they're basically getting a legend out of the history books and onto the team sheet, essentially, which has its own pull. I don't really know, to be honest. There were more pressing areas to...
But were you excited, in pure footballing terms, were you kind of quite buzzing as a Manchester United fan about it? Because I know some Man United fans have been, honestly, they're absolutely loving it. And I totally get that. I totally understand that.
It's a hard one. I am for the name. I am for the accomplishments during his first stint at the club. I am for that sense of, you know, I'm a sports writer by trade, aren't I? So I'm very much, these are the kind of stories that you don't really think come to fruition. You think someone leaves in the way that Ronaldo leaves and moves on and is, you know, his profile's raised since leaving United, where he won the Champions League and, you know, Premier League titles. He's been that, it's him and Messi. And he's come back, and it's very, very strange that you think he was on to bigger and better things, especially the way United fell as well. My excitement is obviously tempered by the stuff that's been happening off the field, and that actually puts it in quite a trivial manner. You know, there are serious rape allegations against Cristiano Ronaldo from Catherine Mayorga. I think Solskjaer's comments last night after the game were, really quite unimpressive.
I mean, it did seem, you know, when he talked about him as a great player and so on, he's going to make us better.
Fine, say all that, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a special boy or man now. The players are excited, but he's a great human being. Or
don't need
to
say
fact.
That, yeah, exactly. So there is a current legal battle ongoing, like a civil there's been a civil case filed against him for damages, and a district judge in Nevada is going to determine whether Catherine has a case, specifically around the non-disclosure agreement that she signed and whether she was in a fit state to sign that in the first place. I would encourage...
This is all happening right now. This is not a kind of, harking back to something, not even that would sound insensitive.
There was a sense that this had gone away and
what you're saying here, Vish, is actually, it's relevant, obviously.
Yeah, and I would encourage people, you know, it is a very serious matter. I would encourage people to read as much about it as possible, because the Der Spiegel article from 2018 is still up, despite Ronaldo's people saying that they were going to sue them. Rebecca Myers of the Sunday Times has written a piece detailing where things are at this moment, which clears up a lot of uncertainty and also some of the rumours that are going around on social media in the way that, you know, people have said that, Ronaldo can't step foot in the US. That's not strictly true. It's worth going through that. So to be honest, I don't know. I know I'm going to be put in a position where I'm going to have to write about Ronaldo and football Ronaldo, and I've got to weigh up whether I include a lot of that stuff in a match report, in something that talks about his skill. And, you know, it's not for me to say to people, you shouldn't support Ronaldo. People need to read all the information that's out there and gauge whether they feel comfortable doing that. And I suppose, you know, people deal with those kind of conflicts in their own way. People still watch Kevin Spacey films. People still watch Mel Gibson films. People still listen to R. Kelly, and loads of people don't. And that is something that I'm going to have to work out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, back to the match itself. Obviously, Manchester United, they beat Wolverhampton Wanderers 1-0, and they've now gone unbeaten in 28 Premier League away games, which is an EFL record, which is quite stunning, Jim, if you think about this Solskjaer Manchester United side. They never sort of cease to amaze, really, because you look at them and you think, well, this, you know, Fred's still in the heart of that midfield and gets a lot of criticism. And up until the Euros, Harry Maguire, there was huge question marks over him. And you think, well, a bit disjointed, but there's another. That's a fantastic away record. It's the best away record.
Well, I mean, I think what Solskjaer doesn't get credit for is he's made Man United incredibly hard to beat. And you take it as a given that Man United are hard to beat, but it's not, is it? Mm. It is a real, real skill to make.
Yeah, they weren't
sure
that hard to beat under Moyes, were they?
Well, exactly. I mean, even Louis van Gaal, which was his whole thing. So I think, credit where it's due. It's just, I mean, the question marks are whether he can take it to that next level. And, you know, when they drew against Southampton when they should have won, it's those games that, you know, Ferguson would have got that late winner and all the rest of it.
Absolutely. I mean, for Wolves, it was, sadly for them this season so far, it's familiar stuff in the three successive 1-0 defeats. I mean, the opponents have been Leicester, Spurs and Manchester United, so it's not terrible.
Good but game, though.
It was better
than the scoreline suggests.
Because of Wolves, it was a good game.
Yeah.
They were like very kind of early Nuno side Wolves, weren't they?
Well, they were.
Very exciting. The
crowd were on top of it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Molyneux was bumping yesterday and they were just like relentless. And I mean, Manchester United, have you seen the still photo that was doing the rounds yesterday in the 60th minute where Pogba is basically just, I think he's around the halfway line and there are five United players like bombing forward, like literally on the last line of the Wolves defence and nothing in the middle.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I mean, I was thinking about it.
Poor old Fred.
Yeah, this is a thing. He had to do it on his own. Poor lad. I was thinking about it yesterday.
Like a fucking puppy guarding a car.
You can't.
I'm in a siege. Like,
It's hard to feel. Look, Jim, you and I are not Manchester United fans. When you look at Fred, it does look like he's having a lovely old time.
Yeah.
And as you say, the puppy dog, a Labrador puppy in particular, is quite a good, you know, what would it be, Sibley or whatever. But from a Manchester United fan point of view, Vish, it must be quite frustrating that that position has not been strengthened and old Fred continues to, you know.
Yeah, but all they're going to do is they're going to add like another person on that front line. And so, I'll drop back. That'll be me. you all go in the penalty area.
We're going to get a striker who's got way less running than the current guy.
Yeah.
But like, it's funny because, you know, United aren't referred to as a defensive long ball team. We're like, really? Like, that's how they get a lot of their results away from home, especially when they're in a situation where they can't control the game. It just so happens to be that you've got Pogba or Fernandes playing those balls from deep, and the recipients generally get the ball to feet or into space. But I really, it's just like a flashy remix of, you know, Burnley or the Bolton of
100%.
Old, but with classier instruments. It's like long ball football produced by Mark Ronson. Yeah. And like, you know,
it's having a moment.
Yeah, get the ball to, you know, get
featuring
the ball
to Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah,
soon.
Yeah. And like, get the ball to Mason Greenwood and let him score. It's like our Valerie at the moment.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, but I totally. I mean, you look at again that sort of midfield. Wolves look like they were having a lovely time. It is astonishing that they didn't score a goal. And Adama Traore was incredible.
He is such a conundrum, isn't he?
But he is, Jim, because you're absolutely right. There's a slight issue with end product there, and there was a moment where in the first half he broke forward and Varane did really well to show him down that what would it be, Varane's right hand side, Traore's left hand side, and it forced him to kind of pass the ball out wide. But Traore is the type of player, not too sort of dissimilar, some, if you will, here, with Raheem Sterling when he went to Manchester City, in that Raheem Sterling's end product wasn't great. Now, I know Raheem Sterling is still not the best finisher in the world, but he clearly gets goals, as Manchester City and England have benefited enormously under Guardiola, and he's really polished that. It's different sort of types of players and different types of what they're trying to look to do in the final third of the field. But with Traore, I honestly think, and I don't want him to go to Manchester City, but if he did play on sort of Guardiola or something like that, and we'll see what Bruno Lage can do just to hone that decision-making.
Yeah, absolutely. He's very good at beating a man.
Superb.
But once he's done it, it's like he never seems to land in the right spot.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing.
Mm.
I don't know how you work on that.
Yeah, but look at Trincao, though. I mean, he looks a player.
Yes.
You know, the Wolves, they've lost three games, and obviously that's not great, but the exciting players, they've got the Jimenez back.
All the best teams have lost three games.
We'll get to them in a bit, but it does look exciting. I mean, how was it? Saïss didn't score when De Gea produced those two saves, in particular.
Brilliant,
the second
saves.
One.
In fact, everyone's talking about how has Saïss not scored there? But De Gea, that was vintage. Like,
I mean, yeah, it was a brilliant save. You know, brilliant reaction to get up and stabilize himself to make that second save, but I think Saïss should have taken him out of the equation.
Oh, no, of course.
You
I mean,
almost chip it from, you know,
well,
from short range.
Robbie Keane said, just roof that. Do you know what
quite.
I mean?
But that's not that simple when you're right under the goal, is it? You've got to chip it.
Yeah, I think,
in a
I mean,
split second.
There's no doubt he should have scored, and some people will be tempted to say, well, he shouldn't let De Gea make it that save, or whatever. Whatever happens, from the goalkeeper's point of view, that is a magnificent save.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But the striker should have scored. But there we are. And then, you know, there's obviously other chance, Aaron Wan-Bissaka's goal on clearance. But gentlemen, we're actually sort of, we haven't addressed the big point of the game, which of course was Paul Pogba's tackle / foul / leg breaker, as Graeme Souness predictably referred to it as, although you can understand why he said that, which should have led, you know, inadvertently to Manchester United scoring. I mean, surely that was a foul. Surely VAR's there to bring things like that back, Vish.
I mean, I thought it was, yeah. But then, you know, part of the reworking has been that kind of contact is being, I suppose, allowed to pass. But to me, like, I thought it was allowed to pass if he got some of the ball, and he got none of the ball.
I agree with you.
I just kind of, because Solskjaer complained about last week about how, you know, the way that they're overlooking things is they're overlooking too much now. And obviously that happened this week. Turns out these things do even themselves out. Not over a season, but over a fortnight. But it was very, I found it very, very strange. Especially given that, I understand that they're trying to fast forward through VAR a bit, but he kind of, It was over pretty quickly, that check.
Yeah. Although, actually, Ruben Neves, it took him a while to sort of react.
And I think he sold it so badly.
Yes.
Or maybe they rushed through it so quickly.
Yeah.
They didn't even see him fall over.
And that is fine. What's that? I mean, that shouldn't make a difference, by the way.
No, not at all.
But you're right. The guys at Stockley Park are human beings. And I think that may well have... Actually, he kind of reduced the chance of it being...
Because he really made it look like there was no contact at all. Because yeah. He's fine for a step or two, a step and a half. He turns to the referee and then he goes down.
Yeah.
And so it looked... I looked at his reaction. I was like, oh, no, he hadn't touched him. And then I looked at the actual incident. Oh, he definitely has, yeah.
Yeah, they got away with one there. There's no doubt about that. Of course, I mentioned Rafael Varane with his debut. Yeah. Will he be thinking, bloody hell, this is not even like a... Like a sort of a top eight kind of side we're playing against.
God, they look far away. Isn't that a right midfielder? Where's he going?
Jadon Sancho with his first start, which was in the end fairly underwhelming, but more to come from him in a Man United shirt, especially that sky blue Man United shirt.
Yeah, it looks pretty flash, doesn't it?
I'm undecided, but I'm willing to go with it for now because I don't have a choice. Gentlemen, let's move on to what happened at Anfield. Liverpool 1, Chelsea 1, of course. Lovely looping header from Kai Havertz. Always pleasing to see.
Oh, brilliant. Because you know he means that. But it's flicked off the back of his head.
Well, it's sort of speculative.
Off of his crown.
Yeah, you're right. You know he's sort of guiding it into that area. But obviously there's a lot of speculation around that effort. But when it goes, and it's quite pleasing to see the ball sort of loop like that, unless, of course, you're a Liverpool fan. But the big decision in this game, of course, was the Reece James sending off.
Yeah.
And what did you make of that one, Jim?
I just think that rule is out of date. Like, I'm surprised.
Well, let them handball it.
No. Basically, a penalty and a sending off is so harsh, I think.
Yeah.
You punish twice.
Yes, but I mean, so are you saying if it's deliberate handball, they shouldn't be sent off either? So you would have given Luis Suarez a yellow card in the World Cup 2010.
All right, that's a fair point. But I don't think it was deliberate. I think.
Yeah.
It's the speed of it. When you see it in slow motion.
Do you know what this makes me feel? It makes me feel that I'm so glad that I'm not a referee.
Oh, absolutely.
As if I was given the choice. You know, you're not sort of, you know, at the job centre, that isn't an option. So when I say I'm glad. But Vish, his arm, it seemed a bit harsh, but I do see that there was a slight movement towards the ball after the ball had hit his thigh to almost kind of sort of scoop it away, which I don't think too many people said, actually.
Yeah, I thought there was a little bit of that. Miguel Delaney, who was at the game, he was at Anfield, He wrote something on, I think he went live on Sunday, about how potentially a way of getting rid of this double punishment thing would be to award penalty goals. Now, there's a ruling in the NBA where goaltending is allowed whereby, you know, if it hits the rim, you can't jump up and get it off the rim. You've got to wait for it to come down.
Yeah.
And if you do, the attacking team are awarded 10 points if the defender does that. There's obviously a similar ruling in rugby union where you get a penalty try where for infringements on the line. Miguel's thing was, if we know it's definitely going in from that point, and if it is even on an accidental handball, you can just award a goal, can you?
Mm-hmm. I feel like a goal is sacred, though. I think someone has to score a goal for the team to have the call me a traditionalist.
No, I agree with that.
But then you're just going to be in a situation then where if it is sacred, then you have to send them off, then, if the infringement is...
I think maybe a compromise. I mean, the Luis Suarez one, of course, because that goes into poor sportsmanship, right? Perhaps it needs to be, perhaps this rule needs to be untangled a little bit, because I do think that sort of double punishment thing is two punishments for one thing.
But it was a sending off, and I think it's a shame because, you know, I love Reece James. I think he's a phenomenal player. I think he's got, well, he's already a Champions League winner.
But you think he's cheating scum?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't, and I think he brings
the game into disrepute.
None of this is what I actually think.
Send him to Borstal. That's what you were saying in there. Yeah.
It was, and he should.
You're saying he should join the army for a bit.
He needs to do. He needs to do a few rounds in the boxing room with Romelu Lukaku and Virgil van Dijk against him to kind of. Which we did see a moment where Lukaku sort of boshed VVD onto the floor, which is something you don't see that often.
No, but Van Dijk got a few. Obviously, he's taller than Lukaku, but there were a few times where he could have dominated him in the air. That was incredible to watch, wasn't it?
It was. It was. And
just two classy operators trying to out-muscle and out-think each other.
Two massive classy operators.
Yeah, absolutely. We should say we're not doing the old tropes if they were just two big lumps sort of going at it. It wasn't like that at all. You're right. There is so much more to their games and so on. So it's such a tactical battle. But also the physicality, just in a pure kind of, you know, basic human level, it's a spectacle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there was something a bit... NBA about it, in the sense that a lot of times in NBA you'll get, well, like it obviously happens in football, you know, if you move along, you get passed along to a different defender, don't you? Or if you're an attacker who's not getting much joy, you might think, right, maybe you start having a go at him, I'll have a go at somewhere else, I might pull wide. But you tell both of them, like, no, I've got him.
Yep.
It's me against him for 90 minutes and we're going to do this. There was a bit of ego there. I love that. Yeah.
I mean, and look, we have to say it was very impressive from Chelsea. You know, going down to 10 men at Anfield against Liverpool, who, I'd like to remind people, they're very much in for the title this season. And really, you know, it was a couple of moments and so on, but very impressive. And Chelsea had their moments as well. Late on in the game, you know, they had a chance.
I think it was a bit of a masterclass from Chelsea in how to, you know, I guess limit the damage in a situation like that. It's, they immediately went into a mode of knowing that getting away from that with a point is a blow to Liverpool as much as a boon for them. Those 2 points in either direction will probably make a difference come the end of the season. And they are, I think, it's funny, one of the consistent things about Chelsea since Abramovich has come in, when they're absolutely at their best and in their title-winning seasons, even under Conte, who you could argue was maybe he and Ancelotti played the most exciting football they've played, they've always been machine-like as well.
And Mourinho would go all the way back to him. There is that machine-like quality at Chelsea.
And they just clicked into that gear. Yeah.
And I think the Chelsea fans get that.
Yeah.
And they really
need,
isn't
it?
And they warm to that. And I think actually that can help, because you play in a certain way, I think they get behind the team.
That's so true, yeah. There's I know, like, you know, ship club, no history is something that's sung at them a lot, but, like, enough time has passed.
Which is not quite true.
No, obviously not. But enough time
has got history.
Yeah, enough time has passed now that there is that familiarity where it's like, oh, we used to play like this, you know, under Mourinho, and so they become
the culture.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily, like, hurt them to see it if they have to defend with their backs against the wall.
Yeah.
And it was said a lot over the weekend, and I agree with the sentiment, but we probably learned more about Chelsea's title credentials in the second half than we did in the first.
Yeah.
Where you saw how, you know, they can just adapt so quickly to any situation. Yeah,
no, a very good point, sir. I did enjoy seeing young Harvey Elliott for Liverpool again. What a season he could have. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/ramble.
year it has been from this man, Casper Dober. COVID twice, appendicitis, a teammate stole his watch that was worth $85,000, and yet his first start in this tournament, he delivers a wonderful goal.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, let's see how we got in Betway's 4 to score. Entry to Betway's 4 to score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game 1, Liverpool versus Chelsea. I picked Mo Salah. It was Kai Havertz. Mo did score, but it wasn't the first one, so it doesn't count. In game 2, Burnley versus Leeds, Pete picked Dwight McNeil. Of course, it was Chris Wood. Game 3, Spurs versus Watford. Vish, you picked Dele Alli. It was, of course, Son Heung-min. And in game 4, Wolves versus Manchester United, Luke picked Paul the Pog Pogba. It was Mason Greenwood. 0 out of 4 once again. Oh, my goodness. We'll be back for another round of 4 to score on the preview show this Friday. Right, it's time for email.
Rumble, show football, I want to know where your round goes to, so I'm sending you a quality jingle, show at footballrumble.com.
Really like his hair.
An email from Connor Marshall. When working in a Newcastle KFC in my teens, I once served Kevin Mbabu. His mate did all the talking and he ordered 40 quid's worth of chicken. Been there. Other customers included Peter Beardsley, who only came in because the drive-thru speaker was broken. Because Kevin Keegan drove into it. He didn't. That's not part of the email. Loves his meat, that man. A lad I worked with called him some boy, to which he awkwardly smiled. Another frequent visitor was Olivier Bernard, quite the hotspot for football talent. I also played paintball against Tim Krul once. He was surprisingly hard to hit for a tall man.
Reactions.
Yeah. Great reactions.
Imagine that if you actually shot and he managed to kind of react while the pellet is in midair.
What, like, do you mean like saved it or like moved out the way of it?
I'm thinking like Matrix
probably
style.
Quite difficult for him, isn't it? Because he's used to like getting in the way of stuff.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I don't think he was originally going to play. I think Sillerson was originally on the other side and then they brought him on for the end. We had to leave early as we had no more ammo. Yeah. I was gutted when he was shifted to my team to even up the numbers.
There we are, you see. I mean, it's incredible. We've had more people getting in touch about stuff they've sold to footballers, and now we can. Chicken is one.
Yeah,
yes. I reckon that's quite a common one, though.
Because
you've got to eat, haven't you?
Absolutely,
great source of protein,
yeah, especially at 4 a.m. Yeah.
Adam Hudson has also been in touch. He says, "I used to work at Asda before I joined the military. Once in a store in the no man's land between Sunderland and Newcastle, in walked the massive Kenwyn Jones. Myself and a few other Sunderland fans stood and spoke to him near the milk when a rotund, horse punching Geordie walked past in a Newcastle shirt. Kenwyn, out of nowhere." Started booing him.
Amazing!
The barcode fan was fuming at us all laughing and went to the customer service desk to complain that Kenwyn Jones and a group of employees were booing and laughing at him. Imagine Brendan from the Asda customer service desk turning up at the Stadium of Light to tell Roy Keane to discipline his player for booing someone in an aisle. Anyway, cheers for providing me with content to listen to while 8,000 miles away in the Falklands last year and during the lockdown. Keep it up.
My goodness, eh? They don't come much further away than that.
No.
There we are. Show at footballramble.com for all your emails that you want to send us, especially if you have sold a footballer or someone from the world of football, as we like to say, something legal. Right, let's move on. Jim, I'm sorry, but really, when Manchester City beat Arsenal, we shouldn't have to talk about it on this show because it should be a routine, 2 or 3 nil. Yeah, Man City were obviously better and so on. But when it's 5-0 and Granit Xhaka gets sent off and it's the first time since 1954 that Arsenal have lost their 3 opening league games of the season and they manage one shot and 19% possession, we have to come back and talk about them.
It's Monday. It's the start of his week. Yeah.
I'm annoyed as you, Jim.
I know. I promise you you're not, Marcus. I promise you are not. Oh, yeah, it's, It reminds me of the 8-2. Yeah. And I keep thinking, well, at least it wasn't 8.
Yeah.
And it was the anniversary of the 8-2.
This is ridiculous.
And
isn't
it comes at a time when Spurs are top of the league, having won 3 out of 3.
I know. What purgatory is this?
Yes. I mean, the thing is, with Arsenal, they started with a 5-man defence. And I thought, well.
Did they, though?
Yeah. I thought, but at least there's an ounce of self awareness there. And then, of course, it didn't really make much difference.
I mean, the personnel in that defence were not right. I mean, Kieran Tierney obviously is an excellent player. I got no criticism of him, but Cedric is a Kia Jurabchian like carriage clock, effectively. Rob Holding's a player that you put in a back three, certainly, but I don't think he should be the best defender in there. I know, you know, Ben White wasn't available, Gabriel wasn't available, so that is, you're on a hide into nothing there. But, and I know Pablo Mari had a difficult game against Lukaku, but he won't be alone in that. Kolasinac starting as a central defender in that three. I think Mikel Arteta must be making a point, because he had two goalkeepers on the bench. He's probably saying, look, we need to strengthen. I know we've spent a lot of money already, but it's going to take so much money to sort of fix this squad. I think Arteta, there's an argument that he is currently our best fit midfielder.
That would be quite something if he went, right, sod this.
Might come to that.
I will show you.
But yeah, I mean, like, I was talking to a friend of mine I was watching the game with, and obviously, you know, the idea of Arsenal competing for the title this year is ridiculous. But if you look at the team they're playing on the pitch, how much money would Arsenal have to spend between now and tomorrow night to compete with City? You took, like, what, 400-500 million? I mean, maybe more than that.
But even if they did, Jim, the mentality there, the whole vibe at the club has been like this for years.
Yeah. And I mean, this is the problem. Arteta has said himself, it's been like this since I was a player.
Yes.
And it's going to take a long, long time.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
It is astonishing. And it makes me think that, one, there could be an argument saying he's the right man for the job because he knows it all. Another thing is, no, he's the wrong man for the job because he knows nothing else
to be
at
fair,
the club.
I think the right man for the job
is Antonio Conte.
Is someone who's going to be able to be a bit of a punchbag, unfortunately. I've been saying for years, even since before Wenger left, that when Wenger goes, it will be like when Ferguson left, and it will get worse before it gets better. We will probably become a mid-table team. So now this was always going to happen.
It doesn't have to happen.
No, Marcus, I think you're wrong on that. I think this was always going to be the case in terms of getting Arsenal back to where they need, given the mess they've become with owners that don't really, you know, I know they've put their, well, I say they put their hands in their pockets. Arsenal spend their own money. The Crunkers don't put their own money in it. They've spent a lot of money. There's no doubt about that. But I think the thinking isn't joined up enough. You know, it's not been spent well enough in recent years. And I just feel like part of the problem is for that to be okay, for Arsenal to descend into being a mid-table club for a bit, you need to have some sort of siege mentality so us as fans can go, all right, this season's not quite a free hit, but it's one where, well, there's a siege mentality. It's all right. Everything is a bonus. You know, like these young players getting experience and developing, these new partnerships developing. That has to be something we can all get behind and go, okay, this is a new Arsenal. This is good. But for that to work, the performances cannot be like that because we've got nothing to go to get behind. We've got nothing to cheer.
Mesut Ozil tweeted.
Fuck him. I don't even read it out. I don't care what he said.
Trust the process, accompanied with a broken heart and sad face emojis.
Yeah.
I mean that's just a stupid thing to do.
That's a bell end.
Yeah.
Pep Guardiola said of Mikel Arteta, "Arteta knows how I love him."
Do you know what I thought when Xhaka got sent off? Immediately, I was like, "How fucking predictable! 3-0 down, 10 men, a mess."
Were they 2 or 3-0 down at the time?
2-0 down.
2-0 down. But so 42 minutes.
Either or.
Yeah.
It didn't make much difference.
Well, this is why it's, you know.
And there was probably a bit of sympathy there for, well, we can't bat them now that they're down to 10 men and, you know, whatever. But a damning indictment of what Arsenal have become, as Jim explained, that I got to the point where watching that replay of the Xhaka foul where I thought, I know exactly what he's thinking there. I know he's incredibly annoyed. He's incredibly proud. He, in that moment, thought, they're making mugs of us and I'm going to go through this man and, you know, basically kind of missed the tackle in a way. He missed the foul he was going for and still got sent off.
He was trying to foul him, but he was too committed to his own foul.
Yeah. And I realised that, like, Xhaka's just one of the few people who thinks like that at the club.
Xhaka cares.
Yeah.
This is the thing, he gets so much stick, but he
needs to be channelled.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It does need to be channelled. But it speaks to the fact that Arsenal have a lot of exciting young players. Yeah. Arsenal are going to sell some quite exciting young players.
Yeah.
And it's weird to be in a situation where the players coming through, they're not coming through with, you know, this tainted DNA. They're coming through as exceptionally good players who are thriving either at Arsenal or elsewhere. The problem are the senior players.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And that's why, like, lowering the age profile of this team in a weird way will could even make them more mature, because you've got the players there that just don't care and don't pull the weight. I mean, so Callum Chambers on the third goal was, I've watched it a few times, and he was so far away from Jack Grealish in terms of, you know, he's technically marking him, he's taking care of him, he's supposedly shepherding him, but he's actually not anywhere near enough to him. Maybe because he's scared of Grealish, and we all know how good he is in tight spaces, but the effect was the same as empty space.
Yeah,
like Chambers offered absolutely nothing there, and he's been a player who's like had fits and starts in the team, where he had a couple of successful games as a right back last season, and I feel like he's one of those players where he looked like he was maybe kicking on a bit, and he's been around for a long, long time. But when you're a manager coming into a club with struggles, you need to improve the players you've got, and Arteta's been there for long enough for us to be able to make a judgment on whether he improves players or not. And I wouldn't count Saka and Smith Rowe in that, because they're coming through, and you know, their development is slightly different because they're young players. And Rob Holding has certainly improved a bit, but it's really hard to argue that Arteta's improved many players.
Well, and you would worry for his job now. Yeah. Sooner or later. Yeah, indeed.
Surely now's the time for Draxler, though, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I think that's, about time they get him in at the club. West Ham and Crystal Palace drew 2-2. And to be honest with you, what's happening at Crystal Palace? You know, first goals under Patrick Vieira, of course, for Crystal Palace. What's happening at Crystal... what's happening there at Palace? You know, might not... You know, Arsenal might... You talk about the senior players being the problem, perhaps, in the young players coming through. Well, Vieira sort of, Palace, there's sort of a youthful revolution going on. Now, the first things first to say in that game, very entertaining game, of course. Nice to see Antonio smashing one in, always pleasing and so on. But Conor Gallagher was the man who got both Palace goals, of course, and season-long loan from Chelsea. He was at West Brom last season. He impressed despite their season last year. One of 15 players out on loan from Chelsea. One of is Kennedy still. He's at Flamengo.
He's still there.
Still a Chelsea player. Yeah. You know how it is. You know how it is.
I mean, he went on loan to Newcastle. And I thought, well, come on, mate, take the hint.
Yeah. But bringing it all the way back round, Gallagher. He was man of the match against Brentford. Two goals against West Ham, of course. Now, what Vieira's doing at Palace, he wants to bring in young players and lower the average age of the squad. The 26-year-old and friend of Luke Moore, Will Hughes, has been one of their older signings under Big Pat. They've spent over 50 million. So they've spent, you know, for Palace, that's a reasonable sum. But the club parted ways with 9 senior players this summer. Cahill, Townsend, McCarthy, Hennessy, Wickham, okay, he's only 28, but still, Henderson, Van Aanholt, Sacco and Dan are all in there. Yeah, there was a few other players that is almost...
the spine of what you associate with Hodgson's Palace.
Isn't that incredible?
Turnover.
Isn't that incredible? And it's a very bold thing to do. And of course, we've yet to wait and see whether it will work, because they did just score their first goals. But with young Gallagher on his side, you know, he looks like he's full of beans.
And he sounds like a Clapham estate agent.
He looks like a Clapham estate agent as well.
In South London. But Palace, they're reportedly looking at making offers for Arsenal's Eddie Nketiah and Celtic's Odson Edouard, which, you know, either of them would be good signings, especially Edouard, I would say. Mm. He wants another striker, that's quite clear. And we should say the transfer window slams shut tomorrow. But you, as I say, there's a slight comparison there with what Arsenal are doing, Jim, you know, with what Vieira's doing. And it's not a bad sort of idea.
I think it was a bit more pressing at Palace, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm being slightly, what's the word? I'm sort of over-egging that a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting because I think his hand has been forced. A lot of these players are going to leave, some of them because it's probably the right time for them to go, in most cases as well. So he's made a very, very deliberate choice to make that squad young. But it's smart as well, isn't it? Because he can mould them in his own image a lot more. And that's what any manager coming in wants to be able to do. And if you've got that opportunity, you're going to have a busy summer. But straight away, it's like a lot of teams, it's like, well, you know, you've got to give him probably 3 windows before it's really his team. You could sort of argue that Vieira's got that now.
Yeah, you could. And we've seen him do this before in previous roles. But with Palace, they seem to be trying to learn from that. You know, those players they've left the club for nothing. They've profited nothing from those players leaving the club. Obviously, they're off the wage bill, da-di-da-di-da. But they're realising this, that where they sit in the football sort of,
The hierarchy.
In the hierarchy, yes, exactly. sign young, and then if they perform, then you can always sell them on for a greater fee. And it, this, to me, I understand that Palace fans may be slightly concerned about the start. I don't think they'll be too concerned. But I think that there's a potential here. I mean, these words might come back to bite me on the arse. You know, they're relegated by January or something. but you know what I mean, though?
Perhaps. Ahead of Arsenal, come on. Yeah, no, totally. So they actually tried to do this last season, mm-hmm. Where they knew that all these players were going to be out of contract. It, you know, then the summer just gone, and they thought, well, they'll start planning. They brought in a couple of younger players mm-hmm. that haven't quite worked out through injury, like Ferguson yeah. being one of them, the fullback. They tried to get Conor Gallagher last year, and yeah. it was very much with a view to signing him and then
yeah.
getting him to come back on a more permanent deal. Now that's a year delayed. Mm-hmm. I think there was an issue with them negotiating what that release would be from Chelsea. I'm not entirely sure, but it was certainly, you know, it certainly looked like he was odds on to go to Palace before he ended up at the Hawthorns. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because there was a lot made of, they had one of the oldest squads, if not the oldest squad in the Premier League last yeah. year.
And manager.
Yeah, and manager as well. Yeah. And but
the team like often reflect the leadership.
Yeah. yeah. Was he the Pied Piper now that he's gone?
yeah, he's setting up Hodgson FC. He should manage a Vets team, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
Surely.
And they really should have had an owl rather than an eagle temporarily at Palace.
Yeah, just rip up the club's history. Yeah. yeah, no, I totally agree.
Why do we need to do that? We've got so much money. People are going to be living. Yeah, but he looks like an owl, doesn't he?
Yeah. But are you hopeful for Vieira at Palace?
Yeah, I mean, I still have, you know, some doubts over Vieira as manager. Yeah. But I think because this was set in motion last year, they've obviously, he's coming into a situation where he has some defined parameters. Yeah. You know, we're just talking about Arteta. I think the problem with coming into that Arsenal job, whatever, is just mm-hmm. the remit was so wide. I'm like, mm-hmm. right, we've got a problem over there. We've got a problem yeah. over here.
Whereas, stop this, basically, is the whole thing.
Help! Remit. yeah. Whereas with Palace, obviously, you know, they had a system and a structure in place to, I suppose, refresh mm-hmm. their squad. And he's been given that. And with that will come time. And, you know, who knows? We might see what he's actually about as a manager, yeah.
We might well do. We might well do, gentlemen. And the fact that they got a point at West Ham, and I thought, God, that is a
yeah,
that's
exactly.
a good that's a
yeah.
good point against West Ham. Shows you where
fun watch this season.
They are, but that shows you where West Ham are.
Oh, absolutely. Mm.
Because I think to myself, not too shabby at all. Moyes said after the game they could do with some more attacking options. So this again, the window slams yeah. shut. It always slams
it
shut.
It does.
It's never
shut.
Carefully. Doesn't have those little things like an IKEA wardrobe where as you slam it, it then sort of slows. You need that slam. You need that sound.
I really hope that they figure something out for Jesse Lingard.
That's not happening.
It doesn't seem to be.
Doesn't seem to be happening.
It's a shame for everyone concerned.
It is a huge shame for football.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. There's talk of CSKA Moscow's Nikola Vlasic, the attacking midfielder, Croatian international,
yeah.
going there, which seems to be...
Cheaper, younger option, essentially.
Yeah, I know.
But they need a bit of depth with the Europa League coming up, so they probably do need to bring some
players
in.
In the name of football, get Lingard.
I know.
To that London stadium, that Lingard Stadium. gentlemen, before we go around the continent for a few football-y, tapas-y bits, if you like, I just want to mention, even for a brief moment, the end to the game, Newcastle at home against Southampton, that ended 2-2. Absolutely incredible. Alan Saint-Maximin smashing in that 91st-minute goal. You think to yourself, there it is!
Yeah.
A win for Steve Bruce. The way he finishes it off, celebration, is such a great and exciting player.
Gallagher goes mad as well.
Yeah,
it was
incredible scenes. And then, of course, Jamal Lascelles makes a foul, and it was a foul. And James Ward-Prowse doesn't need to be asked twice because he tucks that ball home yeah. with aplomb.
Certainly
and it ends in a draw, and large sections were giving Bruce a load of stick for another shoddy performance, Jim.
Yeah, it's gonna keep happening, isn't it?
Southampton building, though, another point. Bearing in mind, I understand a point against Manchester United is distinctly more impressive than a point against Newcastle.
Circumstances, though,
exactly.
are important.
Exactly.
This is the thing, isn't it? I suppose the spectre of being smashed 9-0 twice must hang over Southampton constantly. Because
they won 8-0 the other day.
I know they did, but like, surely that ingrained some resilience in you. Like,
yeah.
like picking yourself up from a defeat like that, you have to go, right, we have to be at the top of our standards all the time because this isn't acceptable. And I think that change in mindset, it probably helps in a situation like that. I know it's a bit fortunate because it's a penalty, but still.
I love it how Southampton fans will be thinking, why are you mentioning the 9-0? We're playing Newcastle. Come on,
yeah,
give us a break. Gentlemen, north of the border. Rangers beat Celtic 1-0 in predictable fashion. They're unbeaten against Celtic, and I think it's seven now. They've really got a stronghold in the Old Firm derbies at the moment. Celtic had their chances.
Yeah, you mentioned Edouard before. I mean, yeah. He was an absolute sitter in the first half, didn't he?
Kyogo as well.
We should have scared to Ryan Christie, that one. Yeah.
Wrong decisions, you could argue, yeah. In crucial moments of the game. Rangers had a couple of players out injured. Gerrard wasn't there due to COVID, so assistant manager Gary McAllister was in the dugout. Well, he's always in the dugout, but he was the main man in the dugout. And he said after the match and the team's win, it was fantastically pleasing. You can't really sum it up better than that if you're a Rangers man, of course. Celtic, though, having a funny old time. They've lost two games already, and they haven't won away in the league since Valentine's Day.
That's really strange.
And that is an extraordinary stat if anyone is even on just glancing terms with Scottish football.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That is so weird. What do they do on Valentine's Day?
It was a Glasgow kiss, maybe, that went, you know, according to a Glasgow kiss.
Well, everywhere, yeah. All the players together at once.
Maybe. But of course, gentlemen, all this talk about the Old Firm derby doesn't tell the full story of what's going on in Scotland at the moment. Could this be the first time since 1985 that the title is wrestled away from the city of Glasgow, Jim? Because top of the shop at the moment is the two clubs from Edinburgh.
No, Marcus, it won't be the first time since 1984 or whatever it was.
First time since 1960 the title goes to Edinburgh?
Really?
Isn't that extraordinary?
That is bad, yeah.
It's not.
You're such a dick. Right. Hibs and Hearts, top of the pile with 10 points apiece.
Yeah, so it's interesting that you put them up there together. Surely one of them's on top.
Yeah, Hibs are.
Yeah,
could it go to Leith?
No, we're joint top. No, we want a credible title contender from
Edinburgh.
And in history, when was the last time Hibs even finished second in the league? Can't even remember.
I don't know, mate.
Yeah. I hope I've got that right.
Was Valentine's Day? Was that a cup final? Was it around that time?
That was the final weekend of league fixtures. They haven't played since. Elsewhere, let's go back down south. Not too south though. Wigan. Did you see this? They gave a touching halftime tribute to Keith at halftime in their win over Portsmouth. We need to stress straight away that Keith is Keith the Duck. He is a feathered bird.
Was.
Yes, get that right. Some messages went round on a Wigan message board about the death of an unspecified fan called Keith. Many thought it was well-known fan Keith Valentine, who has been battling lung cancer, but he's come out on top of that to clear up confusion. So again, there's nothing morbid really here other than a dead duck. Wasn't there like a minute's applause or something before the game?
Yeah. They put his photo on the big screen in black and white.
But they did put the picture of the duck up. So
yeah, but it's not like, I don't think they were tricking anyone into
thinking
that Keith the Duck was Keith the man.
Yeah, they found out.
They were all just like, let's get on board. Let's celebrate Keith the Duck. He probably had a great life.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good egg.
Laid a good egg, I hear.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wouldn't have minded if he, you know, if they just like ignored it and went on with their lives and just left him by. He wore off Keith's back. Right, okay, so I have written some duck puns down, so I'm just going to do those now. I'm not going to work for a segue.
Well, it became before the match. You could say it was top of the bill. Go on, good. What you got?
So I couldn't think of any good players.
Uh-huh.
So I've got three.
Yeah.
Go on. Kwakpo Soje.
Nice, yeah, good.
Former Crystal Palace midfielder Kwaki Rihilati.
Yeah, like it.
And then Billy Bremner.
I see, it took me a while.
No, but you haven't changed it.
Bill.
It's already there. You can't have that.
William Saliba.
As in Billiams.
Yeah,
right,
there you go.
Okay,
see?
Yeah, right.
And that's it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
That's why we don't do this anymore.
You know what? They're going to email in anyway, so email in.
You started it, haven't you?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the inbox is on fire this week.
Yeah. Blimey. I think the less said about that, the better for now, Jim. But I'm sure it will emerge at some point. Before we go, though, we have to mention a couple of things. Tammy Abraham opened his account for Roma on the weekend in a 4-0 win. Giroud scored for Milan as well. Life after Chelsea, my friends.
Yeah. Willian tearing it up as well, financially.
In Brazil?
Don't know yet. There's talk that he might... not demand the 20 million that's left on his contract. Is so that that'd right? be great if that happens. Uh-huh. But yeah.
But are you pleased for Tammy? Tammy Abraham fans yeah, have been waiting for this.
Without a doubt, yeah. No, I'm a big fan of him. I think it'd be good for him to actually be valued in a team.
He has started well at Roma. We could really see something. He's got talent, Vish. We know this. We've seen him score goals. I think this could be just the ticket.
Yeah, and I think he's being asked to do a little bit more than what he was at Chelsea because obviously the system that Mourinho's playing at Roma is a bit more open, and he's kind of getting into spaces, into areas that he wouldn't necessarily get into it for Chelsea. So yeah, it's exciting, yeah. Did we see Mourinho in his pizza and full fat Coke
on
the train?
Was that happening?
Yeah. He both posted on Instagram that, you know, love pizza after a win, something like that. Got someone to film him eating pizza.
I went in Rome. and of course, the big news from the continent was that one Lionel Messi debuted for PSG in a 2-0
debuted.
Win. Yeah, debuted. It was debuted, but he made his debut. It's official.
Yeah.
For PSG in a 2-0 win over Rennes. Didn't do that much.
It looked weird, didn't it?
It did.
I think... None of us are used to him in
Jim, you've got to move on. Stop living in
I'm
the
trying.
Past.
It looked a bit, yeah, it looked like, is this a game for the UN? You know, they have those weird ones. I was like, is that what this is? Yeah. And then when he was posing with the Rennes goalkeeper's son at the end of the game, yeah. I was like,
this is in danger of becoming a bit Harlem Globetrotters.
No, it really feels like that.
Because even the Rennes fans were chanting his name when he came on.
I mean, they'd sold something like 8,000 tickets before.
Yeah, you do know he's trying to score against your team.
Yeah, I know.
It's still a game of football.
Cesc Fabregas in pre-season did an interview with The Independent, and he said already the Monaco players are asking him if he can help them get Messi's shirt.
There you go. Yeah. Wow.
Monaco.
Oh dear, that is incredible.
Monaco.
I love the fact that Kylian Mbappe scored both goals though. Yeah. He's just like, just remember.
So Messi came on for Neymar, so the three of them have not been on the pitch. So if Mbappe's move to Madrid does happen this summer, that might never see those three on the same pitch together. There was a chance and it didn't happen.
We might never, Jim. We might never. There we are. We've got to the end of another Manic Monday. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Right, big news though. Patreon live stream tomorrow. It's transfer deadline day tomorrow, of course, where the window is closed shut. And we're going to be doing a Patreon live stream to mark the occasion. Join myself, Luke, and that guy over there, Jim Campbell, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, for questions about transfers past and present, our verdict on the best signings, and a special Luke's game. Head to patreon.com/footballramble to get involved. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Luke and Pete. So, lots to get involved there, everybody. But thank you for getting involved today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you for Tushin Hantaraj.
You are welcome.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom,
I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.